Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
You can't handle the truth. You know what? If you can't handle the truth, then this isn't the show you need to be listening to. Good evening, everyone, and welcome. We are back and better than ever. It's the Ron Kelly Show for Thursday. It's November 30th, 2017, and we're on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show.com. Before we go on any further, I'd like to introduce you to our special guest co-host. He's a veteran Newark activist and former Real Talk Radio co-host, Osman Shabazz. Good evening, brother. How are you today? Oh, I hope you can hear me. Brother Osman, how are you? Okay, all right, everybody stand by. You know, this Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is like the worst place in the world to host a show. So don't come here. Don't come to Blog Talk if you want to host a show. Good evening, everybody. Welcome once again. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show.com. Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. Thank you so much for joining me and Brother Osman this evening. As soon as I can get him hooked up here, I'm not sure what's going on. Brother Osman, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. All right, brother. Thank you. All right. There you go, everybody. Veteran Newark activist and former Real Talk Radio co-host Osman Shabazz is here. Good evening, brother. How are you tonight?
Fantastic. Good. Yourself?
Oh, I'm doing well. I am doing extraordinarily well. Okay, and special shout out to the more than 5,000 folks who have liked the Ron Kelly Show Facebook page, the latest being Robert LeMay of Newark. And also Tanzia Owens of Dallas, Laura Carlisle of Covington, Georgia, and Tasik Ali, all the way from Manchester, United Kingdom. So the Ron Kelly Show has a national and international audience. So thank you so much, everybody, for liking the page. You can go to it. It's the Ron Kelly Show on Facebook. On Twitter, it's R. Kelly Radio. And on the Instagram, it's Real R. Kelly One. All right, let me start with this. First and foremost, the Ron Kelly Show would like to give our sincerest condolences to the family of Sherry Henry. Now, Brother Osman, I'm sure you have heard, the latest on this, to Sherry Henry, the lady who I was just heartbroken to hear, who was carjacked and killed as she arrived home from a Thanksgiving dinner with relatives in West Orange. So I just want to take a moment to send our sincerest condolences to the family of Sherry Henry. What have you heard about this, Brother Osman? Have you heard anything about this this incident?
Well, it appears as though they caught two of the guys that committed this heinous crime. So that was, you know, shout out to Newark Police for acting fast and taking care of this. It's not going to bring her life back, but at least there'll be some form of justice. And the mayor actually came up and spoke about it. You could tell he was heartbroken. So it's basically just another situation, except for this one turned violent. Usually the carjackings don't end up being violent. You know, they put the gun to your head, which is violence, and take your key, tell you to get the hell out, and then they just take your car. But in this particular case, they shot and killed her right in front of her, I believe, 7 or 9 year old nephew. And then they drove around. I guess they might have even picked up other guys. I don't know how many were at the scene. And they just started joyriding. So, you know, they killed a woman, a beloved member of the community. And then they started joyriding, and that's how they got caught. But this is just another situation of violence and things gone wrong. And, you know, when she woke up this morning, she didn't expect to get killed or carjacked. But that's what happened, Ron. So there are different vigils going around Newark. You know, this was really bothered a lot of people in the city. So there you have it. That's sort of like the details there. And there's been other carjackings, too, since that happened. So it's a sad situation, very, very, very sad situation. A couple of guys went up to Montclair. They went up to Millburn, and this dude had, you know, two Range Rovers, and I guess he went Christmas shopping or whatever. So as he's unloading his truck, you know, they stepped up to him, and thank God there was no violence, and they carjacked one of his Range Rovers. So the other guy that was with him went to go carjack the other Range Rover because the dude had two, and it wouldn't start. So he ran into the car with the third suspect and flew away. But they carjacked the Range Rover, and you saw it somewhere parked in Newark. So it's not even a situation where they carjacked it and they're trying to make money and send it over to Nigeria or something like that. They carjacked it, left it on the street in Newark. I don't know if they've caught these particular individuals, but that's sad. You're unloading gifts in your own car, in your own driveway at your own home, and next thing you know, you got a gun in your head in front of your family. As a matter of fact, they held a gun to his 13-year-old daughter's head while they were carjacking him. So that's the type of things we're dealing with, Ron, this holiday season.
Yeah, I read that they had held a gun to the very young girl, 12 or 13 years old. They held a gun to her head and threatened to kill her if they didn't give away the car, which was a no-brainer. But, you know, I have a friend who has a late-model Jaguar, the big one, the XJ, the biggest one. And you have to put your finger on it requires a fingerprint to start it. And so this brother was coming out of a meeting. I think he was on Avon Avenue, like the worst place in Newark to be. He was on Avon Avenue. And as he was coming out, these hoodlums jumped him. And they beat the man up. And they tried to steal his car. But they were too stupid to realize that you have to put a fingerprint on the screen in the Jaguar, the latest model, in order for the car to start. So they didn't know how to start it, so they ran off. So the man got beat up for nothing. But see, this is a, you know, if you look on NewJersey.com, for example, Newark man charged with attempted murder. Two arrested in Irvington slain. Man charged with murder after roommate he allegedly said. And, you know, if you look on NewJersey.com, you'll see all of these things. And all you see is black faces in these pictures. And this is, you know, I couldn't help but feel heartbroken. And this woman was coming home. This was like something that was just, I mean, all of these murders and killings just definitely uncalled for. And this one was really struck home because she was just coming. It was Thanksgiving. It happened on a holiday. She was coming home from what I understand was a dinner, Thanksgiving dinner in West Orange. I believe she has family up there, Sherry Henry. And the ironic thing about this too, Brother Osmond, is she was an organizer. She was organizing a meeting on community violence. She was in the process of organizing a meeting on community violence, and she was someone who was active in the community. And it's so sad that police say she was returning home from dinner. It's around 11 o'clock when she was approached by several hoodlums, and she was shot, and the men drove off in her car. And these idiots drove around in the car and got caught in the car. Now, you would think that they would have dumped it or sold it, like you mentioned earlier, or whatever it was that they may have wanted to do, but they were driving around in the car. So I guess it's a blessing that they got caught inside the car. Now, initially, they were saying that they didn't know whether these people had anything to do with the killing, because the car could have been passed off to somebody else, or somebody could have found it running, or whatever the case may be. From what I do understand, though, the two men and the 15-year-old boy were arrested. I understand now they were charged in this case. And, you know, I do think that there's apathy, you know, and there's apathy in the black community when it comes to these murders and these killings. And people kind of shrug their shoulders because it's been, you know, it's become par for the course, Osman, in the black community, with a lot of these killings and murders and just outright outrageous acts that are being perpetrated on our people, especially now when it's Christmas time and during the holidays, these things seem to go up.
Yeah, yep, that's the case, Ron. And what happens is it becomes such a daily occurrence, bi-daily occurrence, weekly occurrence, until you start accepting this as normal. And once you start accepting murders as normal, carjackings as normal, beatings and robberies, all this stuff as normal, then that's when you've lost it as a community. And at the end of the day, the community is the only one that can cure this epidemic of violence, because there's only so many cops the mayor can hire. So many, you know, because Newark is not a rich city. They can only hire so many cops. And the ones they hire and the ones they train, then you're going to have those cops, other cops, that are retiring at the same time. So it's a process that's ongoing. You try to keep your numbers up and you try to catch up. But at the end of the day, the community has to come together and figure out a way to try to, you know, have more focus on our kids and to give them the values and stuff that's going to kind of end this madness. So, of course, you know, the politician is going to take the blame because he's the person at top. But if you have an honest discussion about this, Mayor Baraka isn't raising these kids. He's not setting them out there. His daughters are doing fine. They're well-behaved. They're educated. They're going on with their lives. They're doing very well. So he's done his job, at least for his family. And if anything, everybody else has to do the same type of job. We got to take care of our families. We got to give our kids morals and values. And that's the only way it's going to change. But if you're raising these kids and they're undisciplined and they don't have values and they drop out of school and then they get a record and then they can't find a job and then they use the fact that they can't find a job to justify doing crime, then it's going to become a vicious cycle where there's always these murders, these carjackings, these killings, home invasions and things like that. So the community has to decide what type of community it's going to be, because, like I said, of course you need law enforcement, and of course the mayor is going to have to clamp down on these people. But the realistic solution is, you know, we have to raise better kids in our communities. We got to do a better job of taking care of them. And it's not just the kids. What happens is those kids become adults, they grab a gun, and they're out of control. So we got to work in tangent with the mayor and the politicians in order to do this. But if we think we're going to just sit back and blame one person for all the violence and things, and I used to do that. I used to put pressure on the mayor, blame him for everything. But to be honest, as I really, really thought deeply about it, what the hell could he do? The only way he can do something about it in a very significant way is to turn Newark into a police state. And then if you do that, he's going to get criticized for that. And not only that, you don't have the money to create a police state. So we shouldn't have to create a police state in our own community in order for us to live safely. So it is on the community's hands to help the mayor and to work in cooperation with other community organizations in order to prevent this nonstop, rampant, out-of-control violence. And until we do that, expect these murder numbers to be 90 to 100 or something every damn year.
Well, see, that's the other thing, too, that I, you know, I've said this often, you know, on radio shows prior to this, radio shows I've guested on, I've been asked to guest on, and this radio show right here, the Ron Kelly Show. And, you know, we've approached this from a lot of different angles in regards to, well, let me put it like this. You know, Trump saying, well, Trump promised to help us was a lie. And I think we all kind of know that by now. His promise of, you know, his what have you got to lose comment, that he's going to go in and he's going to fix the black community. We all know that was a lie. And I've always been one, and I've always said that you can't look at, you know, you can't look at Ras Baraka and even President Obama. Many of us were disappointed with President Obama in the 8 years that he spent in the White House, and many of us feel like he didn't do enough. But, you know, it's not a politician is not going to change a community's mindset. I mean, that's just not going to happen. You know, the mindset of the community is, you know, the power, the real power, you know, is in the community. We talk about mayors and the big city hall office that Ras Baraka probably occupies. But Ras Baraka is a figurehead. He cannot fix anything. The black community, you know, has to fix itself. That's where it's going to go. But I need to say right now, a little later on in the program, we'll talk about, we're going to take a break in a couple of seconds, but a little bit later on in the program, we will talk about this sexual harassment avalanche of complaints that have just come out right after Harvey Weinstein. And I'm wondering why this stuff didn't come out during the Cosby trial. But we'll talk about the sexual harassment lawsuits and accusations of Russell Simmons, the latest, just minutes ago, Russell Simmons was the latest person to be accused of sexual assault.
Yep.
Russell Simmons.
Yep.
So we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about Trump and his craziness and the tax plan. We'll talk about that, and we got a whole lot more going on. So we'll be right back with more of the Ron Kelly Show featuring Osman Serbaz. In just a few minutes, it's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly V. LLC.
Okay.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
Oh, no. I'm in charge of our 10-year class reunion and don't know where to begin.
Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Burkett Promotions does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Mention the Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great prize.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BurkettPromotions.com. B-I-R-K-E-T-T Promotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A-plus rating.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Your bathroom break is over.
Here we go!
Welcome back.
Welcome. Really?
Now I can do what I planned to do this morning.
To the Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Absolutely, yes, indeed. It's the Ron Kelly Show on a Thursday evening, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com. It's the Ron Kelly Show.com with our special guest host, veteran Newark activist and former co-host of the Real Talk Radio program, Mr. Osman Serbaz is in the house. Serbaz, I should say, is in the house. Why did I say Serbaz? Serbaz.
No, Serbaz is right.
Okay, all right, I was right the first time.
That's how you pronounce
my name. All right, Osman Serbaz is in the house.
Could you give give the listeners the calling number in case somebody wants to call in?
Yeah, I did put it on Facebook, but it's 646-668-2838. Yes, call in line, 646-668-2838. If you have a question or a comment, you want to holler at us, either one of us, is 646-668-2838. If you are in need of graphic design, photography, videography, music production, printing, and more, you can holler at my boy, Ariston Multimedia, located at 94 Valley Road, Clifton, New Jersey. The phone number is 973-553-2727, 973-553-2727. All right, we're back with the Ron Kelly Show, right here on blogtalkradio.com. Peace be upon the lady by the name of 40 years old, Shuri Henry, who was a community activist in her own right and was gunned down by these heathens, these hoodlums who were riding around looking for, instead of riding around looking for a job, they ride around looking for somebody to rob. And,
right.
You know, and they stole this woman's car and killed her. A bright light in the community, someone who was really concerned about what's going on. And, there are not many bright lights in the community. And again, as I said earlier in the program, that there's a lot of apathy going on in the black community. People hear shots, they don't even dive in the bathtub anymore like they used to. People just kind of shrug. And, you know, you talk about bodies laying on the sidewalk and people just walking past with their Dunkin' Donuts coffee like, oh, well, you know, and because this is how it has gone in the black community where people have just, you know, gotten used to that. We'll get back to that. We'll talk about that in a little bit later on the Ron Kelly Show. But this man, I'm telling you, Osmond, this sexual, you know, this stuff has been going on since the beginning of time. Jesus walked the earth, you know, this was going on to a degree. And now we fast forward to 2017 and it's still going on. And, you know, my question is, Osmond, why had the Harvey Weinstein thing? Now there's been an avalanche of accusations, none of them recent, you know, all of them many, many years ago. So what do you think is, what's your take on this? What do you think is going on here?
Well, let's take the Russell Simmons case, for instance. In 1991, there was not much sensitivity to women being harassed in the workplace, women being mistreated and hit on and made to feel uncomfortable. So the story is that the man basically was supposed to give her a ride home, and instead of giving a ride home, he took her to his apartment. I don't know what he said to get her up there or, you know, what happened.
You're talking about Russell Simmons?
Once he got to the apartment, this is Russell Simmons, correct.
Yeah.
Once
okay.
he got to the apartment, the woman is claiming that he forced himself on her. So a lot of that took place. And the reason why you're seeing it happen and then things coming up from so long ago, because all of this stuff was commonplace. You know, men just got away with it. And then a lot of women who feel ashamed of that kind of treatment or that type of abuse or attack, they kept quiet. You would be surprised. And so he probably, it's a chance he did it. I don't know. We'll find out the evidence. But there's other women that have accused him of the same type of thing, of sexual misconduct and sexual predatory behavior. Same thing with Matt Lauer. You know, they got him on video doing it to Meredith Vieira. And they caught him, they got a video on TMZ, you know, she bent over. And in the way he did it, it wasn't even like a joking way, because even if you joke, that's wrong. But he did it as a sick, sinister way, saying, yeah, bend down. Yeah, you look good that way. Or bend down and show it. Yeah, that's the position. Something to that effect, you know. And he looked like a psycho when he said it. So, the current atmosphere of of these type of things happening against women is hypersensitive. So you just can't get away with that stuff no more. you can't get away with harassing women and pushing yourself on them or using your position of power to get them to do sexual favors for you. Or just, you know, in some cases it's a little bit too much because a lot of people, you know, meet their wives at the workplace. So I would imagine with the hypersensitivity going on now, a guy is afraid to even ask a person out on a date if they work together because that can end up, you know, ruining his career, him losing his job. So you got to strike a balance when it's abuse and guys are forcing themselves on women and guys are abusing the women like that or using their positions of power to manipulate them into doing things that they normally wouldn't do sexually, then that's abuse. But we can't have it a situation where it's just if a guy asks somebody out on a date and she happened to not want to go or he misread some signals, as long as he backs up, he should be fine. But in this current atmosphere, I think a guy even asks a person out on a date, and if they say no and go tell a human resource office, that guy's done. He could be. That's what we got to strike a balance. And it seems to me that it is good that all of this stuff is being highlighted and women are being more protected and people have to respect them more in the workplace. But by the same token, we can't make it such a fearful environment that people who work together, because just imagine, you spend 8 hours a day at work. You know, five times a week, 40 hours. So a lot of, like I said, a lot of men that I know met their wives at college, with their wives at college, or they met their wives at work. My friends, a lot of them met their wives at college. I met mine at work. And right now, that could be considered just the way I met my wife, just asking for a date and hanging out or whatever. It could be trouble. So we got to be careful.
See, I have to say before I say anything else, I'm totally opposed to any type of harassment of a woman in the workplace. Let me just start out by saying that. I'm totally opposed to that. I think that women should be respected. And, you know, if you're going to approach your women, approach her respectfully. Don't approach her saying, oh, you got a nice booty or whatever the case may be, because that's not right. But, you know, these people who, like in the case of Matt Lauer, who, I mean, if there's evidence, that's one thing, you know. If there's evidence, that's one thing. If there's some video or some audio or something, then that's one thing. But, you know, I mean, I've always had a problem with victim testimony. I've always had a problem with victim testimony or eyewitness testimony being the only thing that's, you know, the eyewitness testimony being the only evidence in a lot of these cases. Look at the case of, like, my pastor talked about this and rep my church, Christ Church in Montclair, New Jersey, in Rockaway. And my pastor talked about the case of Lawrence McKinnon. Lawrence McKinnon was 22 years old. And I'm talking about how eyewitness testimony can be screwed, you know, how people can make mistakes or you don't know what their motive might be. And this brother, Lawrence McKinnon was 22 years old when he was accused of rape by his neighbor. And 31 years later, after the DNA test, we found out it wasn't him. This brother was in jail for 31 years because of what somebody said, you know. And when he got out of prison after 31 years, and the whole world has changed, he was given $75 and told to take a hike after 31 years in prison because of what somebody said. There was no evidence, just eyewitness testimony. And consequently, the state of Missouri, I believe it is, doesn't want to exonerate this brother because they feel, because first of all, if they exonerate him, or if they pardon him, he gets $1 million. So I guess they don't want to see him get that $1 million. So he's fighting for that right now. But that's eyewitness testimony. And they have countless, countless, countless cases of folks, specifically black folks, who have been railroaded into prison on eyewitness testimony that was wrong. I mean, look at the lady that came out. Look at the lady that came out recently about Emmett Till. She said, oh, no, Emmett Till, you know, didn't do what she accused him of. And that brother was beat to death because she said that he looked at her the wrong way or whistled at her, whatever the case may be.
Right.
And she comes out 40 or 50 years later and says it's not true. So I just have a problem with eyewitness testimony being the only source of evidence
right.
that lands people in prison.
When you think about it, what are the chances of somebody going to be an eyewitness if you're in a room and you force yourself on a woman? You're not going to have any eyewitnesses. It's just going to be your word against hers. And at some point, that's what the jury has to make a decision on. And a lot of the rapes and abuses happening now is not interracial stuff. It's not like in the Emmett Till days, like the Matt Lauer. This is a very successful multimillionaire white guy, smiles every day on the station, wears his nice suit, got the most impeccable reputation in public. But behind the scenes, he was a sexual predator. And there's countless women that accuse him. And I tend to believe the women in this case that the guy has a problem. And you're not going to have videos all the time either. In his particular case, you had a video about 15 seconds, if that, maybe 10 seconds, 15 seconds, showing him making a sexual comment to a very highly qualified, successful female journalist who happens to be Hispanic, you know. Russell Simmons, I wouldn't put it past him back in 1991 to be doing that type of thing, not just to her, and to a lot of women. And my feeling is because of his status and his money, not a lot of them went voluntarily, wasn't no problem. But for a lot of these guys, it's a power thing. So they're going to show the person that they can have whatever they want. And the fact is, just because the woman doesn't agree, he'll do it, rationalizing in his mind that it's okay. And the women frightened and worried about their careers being ruined or being blacklisted, like that sick son of a gun, Harvey Weinstein, just doing all types of perverted stuff. And it was all about power. It was all about his sickness in his head. And this is a multimillionaire guy, you know, married by all, you know, from all counts and from what I've seen to a beautiful woman. But he wanted power over these chicks, and he had the power because he was a kingmaker in Hollywood. So, you know, it's just a lot of it. It's more coming out. Every day is coming out. You're going to find almost all of these guys in these positions of power are doing it. So it's a tricky thing, man. You just have to make a decision based upon, but with DNA and everything, the problem is when it's a long time ago, you know. But the reality is just a lot of women won't say nothing, and that's the truth. They will not say anything. They're embarrassed. They feel like some kind of way their behavior caused them to be attacked. They're worried about being shamed. They're worried about people doubting them. And so, you know, it's a tricky situation. So I know a young man that just got into the NBA. He's a friend of mine's. And I had a conversation with him. He plays for the Utah Jazz. And I talked to him about be careful with the women. You know, he's a good guy. I know he would never push himself, but you got to be careful because you're a multimillionaire now, and they're going to be coming after you in some cases. And I told him to stay away from those ghetto bars and strip clubs and all that kind of stuff because nothing but trouble ends up happening that sooner or later, you know. Somebody coming there shooting or robbing, they're getting fights. And then they can lose multi-million-dollar contracts and endorsement deals over a night at the bar or at a club or something like that. So everybody just have to be careful, and they do have to be respectful of women. There is a lot of women being abused or taken advantage of, and it's, you know, especially in the black community. You would not realize. We've had race specialists on the show, Real Talk, when I was before I withdrew from it. And they would say you would be surprised at people you walk around, respectable guys that have raped women as a result of, because she's a counselor, they were coming to her. So it's a lot of it going on. And 9 times out of 10, I'm going to believe the woman. And a lot of them are being victimized, and a lot of them aren't saying anything.
No, you know, I just have a, you know, people, if you're guilty, you're guilty. Okay, but the problem is that we don't know who's guilty, and you know, especially in cases where there's no evidence. You know, we don't know who's guilty and who's not guilty. I mean, we don't know. You know what I mean? And I don't. I just don't think that the knee-jerk reaction from a lot of these companies, NBC and when Charlie Rose got caught, PBS, CBS, they all dropped him like a hot potato. You know, and even Bill O'Reilly, who was the glue that was holding Fox News together, was canned. Roger Ailes, the president. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. You know, and the funny thing about all of this is that the people, the women who accused President Trump of sexual harassment, and we even had a tape of Trump, and we'll get to Trump in a little while, there was even the case, the tape of Trump on the bus, Access Hollywood tape, of him saying he grabs him by the coochie and they, you know, because I'm famous, I can do it and all this type of stuff. Now, I fully believe that that's the way Trump operated. And that was probably one of the reasons why he bought the Miss Universe or bought the Miss America pageant, bought the Miss Universe pageant, so he could, you know, so he can drool over all these young, gorgeous women that he had no chance to get only because he's rich. So, and none of the women who had, the women that accused Trump just disappeared. You don't even hear from any of them anymore. Even with the firestorm of Weinstein and Russell Simmons and all these other people, Matt Lauer, and all these people who are being accused, the Trump accusers are nowhere to be found. So, you know, I guess I would imagine the check was big enough to keep them quiet. But my thing is that I just think that the women should have come out and spoke about this prior to this, you know. Why come out now? Why didn't you come out when you had a chance to come out? 646-668-2838 is the phone number here, 646-668-2838. And why didn't they come out, you know, when it happened, you should have came out. Why?
No, it doesn't work that way.
From a man's standpoint,
we think they should. But yeah, from a woman's standpoint, trust me, I've talked to a lot of them. They don't come out because they feel shame. They feel threatened. They feel like people are going to look at them differently from now on. They feel that guys out there are going to question them, and just if they're just trying to set the guy up. So if you see, especially back then in the 90s, it's different now. There's more sensitivity to believing women and to not tolerate that kind of crap anymore. But coming back in the Cosby days and coming back in the 90s against a big celebrity, for instance, or even regular people being accused, man, a lot of women are afraid. 50% of the women that you see every day have had some kind of incident of rape. And I bet you none of them have said shit about it because they feel shamed or feel the public is going to shame them. They feel that they're not going to be believed. And from a man's standpoint, you know, we just don't get it.
Is there any less shame now than it was then? Is there any less shame now than it would have been back then? And I'm not advocating for the men, because what they did was reprehensible. But is there any less shame now than there would have been back then?
Well, like I was saying, there's a lot of things happening now, and they're doing the same thing, keeping quiet.
Yeah, but here's the
and
thing,
a lot
though,
of cases, yeah.
There's a lot of cases we'll never know about, Osmond, because some of the women went along with this stuff. Some of these women who are probably some of today's biggest stars are the ones who went along with this.
We're not talking about the ones that decided to sleep with a man in order for career advancement. That takes place all the time where men are doing nothing against them. It's voluntary. It's consensual. That's fine. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the guys that actually force themselves, intimidate women, and take it and rape them. That's different.
Yeah,
now,
that's wrong.
Sure, there was a lot of consensual stuff with Harvey Weinstein, with Matt Lauer, big stars, and what Trump was saying is that because you're a star, because you got money, because you're a celebrity, a lot of them will let you do anything. And that is the case. A lot of them do. But there are some that won't. A lot of them won't. And
right,
if
and
you
woman who
can't
says
walk
no,
away from that when you they tell you no, then you're a predator.
Right, and you should be. And if a woman says no and you try to force yourself on her, then that's definitely a crime. But what we will do right now, we'll take another quick break, and we will come back with more of the program. It's the Ron Kelly Show featuring Osman Shabazz, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Yeah, yeah.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness does marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
So coming to the stage is a really funny guy. Y'all know him. Put your hands together. Give it up for George Wilborn.
Folks, why won't we go to the doctor? My uncle called. Speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He calls everybody under the sun. Aunt Peyton, his old army buddy George. He even called my daughter Tierra because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait. Stroke's no joke. If you or someone you love have symptoms of stroke, don't call family. Don't dial a friend. Don't wait. It may be too late. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Learn all the symptoms of a stroke at strokesnojoke.org. That's strokesnojoke.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
I love golf, and I have some of the greatest golf courses in the world. I own Doral. I own some of the great one of Turnberry in Scotland, where they have the British Open. Some of the greatest British Opens in the history of golf. I mean, some of the great Jack Nicklaus against Tom Watson. They say the Duel in the Sun, right, folks? The Duel in the Sun, the greatest tournament ever played was at Turnberry. The Duel in the Sun, Jack Nicklaus, Tom Watson. So I have the greatest stuff. But you know what? And I love golf. But if I were in the White House, I don't think I'd ever see Turnberry again. I don't think I'd ever see Doral again. I own Doral in Miami. I don't think I'd ever see many of the places that I have. I don't ever think I'd see anything. I just want to stay in the White House and work my ass off, make great deals, right? Who's going to leave? Who's going to leave?
You're going to leave. We're back. That was Trump, candidate Trump, last year, chiding President Obama about how many times the president goes, President Obama was going to the links to play golf. And, the liar in chief, who's the president now, said back then that he would never go golfing. And we all know that he's been to the golf. He's been to the golf course more than Tiger Woods since he's been president. So, We all know.
He owns several.
Yeah, we all know where that went. Welcome back, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show. It's about 16 minutes before the hour. Thanks so much for joining us this evening. You can, the Ron Kelly Show on Facebook, like the page, leave a message if you'd like to. Also on Twitter, follow me on Twitter at R. Kelly Radio, and on Instagram is Real R. Kelly 1. Co-hosts at this evening, our special co-host this evening, Osman Shabazz, who is a veteran Newark activist and also is the former co-host of Real Talk Radio. I believe that was the name of the program, Real Talk Radio. And Osman Shabazz is joining us as a special co-host right here on the Ron Kelly Show. So, man, I'm telling you, it's just so much. There's just so much going on, you know. It's just absolutely ridiculous. There's so much going on in the world right now, and you know, North Korea, and I believe the tax. I'm not sure what's going on with the tax thing. I think they were, hashing it over in the Senate this evening about this tax plan, Osman, and you know, and they're more focused on the tax plan than they are about stopping North Korea from blowing New York up, which is very close to where I am, where we are right now. And you know, since the Trump administration has not had a legislative victory this year, they are really pushing for this tax plan that's gonna shove it to the middle class and give all the rich folks a real break. So we're taking a look at that. We're waiting to see what's going to happen with that. They are hashing that over. There's some Republican senators who don't want a $1.5 trillion addition to the deficit. You know, that's another thing Trump talked about too. I mean, do you think all politicians are liars or just certain ones? What are your thoughts?
Well, in this particular case, the tax plan apparently is actually supposed to have a middle class tax cut in it, and it's also going to have a corporate tax cut. And the feeling is from, you know, that's Milton Friedman type of economics, that if you basically cut the taxes for corporations and they're able to keep more of their funds, then they'll use that to invest more, to create more jobs, and also the growth in the corporate revenue will create a bigger, larger tax base of funds going to the government. So that's basically Milton Friedman's philosophy in terms of economics. Now, the problem is that, to be quite honest with you, a lot of the, like Grover Nostrich, who basically say that there's not a big tax cut for the wealthy. So the wealthy's personal income tax is really not going to get cut. It's the corporate tax that a lot of people are complaining about. And so one thing I can say is they're still hankering with it. They don't have a final bill. They don't know. We don't know what it's going to end up being because everybody's trying to change this or change that. But if you look basically at the economy as it is right now, it is on fire. Wall Street has broken so many records. The growth is out of this world since the man got elected. You think this about them or think that about them, but the people in power and the players are betting that this economy is going to be great, and they're looking at this tax plan as one of the reasons why it's going to increase economic growth and basically put fuel in the engine of the American economic system. So that's what's happening. They just broke another record last week. So say what you want about it. There is economic times are great, and they predict Wall Street Journal. Actually, Goldman Sachs, let me say this and then I'll let you go ahead, brother. Goldman Sachs predict that by the time, by the year 2019, unemployment will be at 3.2%. 3.2%. And from an economic standpoint, that's considered full employment. So we'll see, man. But right now, to be quite honest with you, this economy is roaring. And if they thought what he was doing was bad, they would start pulling their money out now and saving it and putting it on the sidelines because they don't want to get crushed. But apparently the business community and investors like what they're seeing.
Yeah, well, you know, we're going to need all those workers to rebuild whatever city that Kim Jong-un decides to blow up because, you know, we are streaming headed toward what could be a nuclear war because of what Mr. Trump is doing. So the good news is that the economy is good, but the bad news is that there may not be a country left by the time all of this is over. So because what he's done is
destroy North Korea. We don't have to worry about them. And right now they got missiles that could reach here, but they haven't figured out the technology on how to put the uranium and the nuclear fuels into a head. No, we kind of do know that. That is, no, this is what all of the intelligence estimates say from not just the United States, but other countries as well. So you got two things that they got to figure out. How to put that nuclear fissionable material in a condensed warhead. That's number one. They haven't done that from all accounts. Number two, in order for it to reach the United States, it has to go at an altitude so high and have to be able to reenter the atmosphere without being destroyed from the reentry point. And they haven't figured that out, too. But they have made gains in terms of the amount of area and the reach, because before we just thought they could hit Alaska or maybe parts of California. With this new rocket-fueled missile that they just tested, it can hit anywhere in the continental United States. But, and we can't blame Trump for the way this dude is behaving. He's always been erratic under President Obama, under President Clinton, under every president. As a matter of fact, we caused him to be erratic, and specifically under the Obama administration, when Gaddafi cooperated with us, got rid of their nuclear weapons, did everything the United States asked for, and cooperated with the CIA against Al-Qaeda, and then we took them out and murdered them. So when North Korea saw what Obama did to Gaddafi, after he did everything and cooperated with him, he said, to hell with that, he's going to get his nuclear weapons as a means of survival. So if you want to blame little Kim for what he's doing now, you got to blame President Obama.
Well, you know, that there is some truth to that, but you know, all of the reports that I've watched and read are saying that everybody's shocked and amazed that North Korea has gone from having missiles that blew up in the sky in September to now having one that can go 3,000 miles straight up into space. So yeah, I don't think that we can trust the reports and what people are saying about what people are saying about the North Koreans' capability. I don't think we can trust that because nobody's been over there. Nobody's taken a good look at this. Nobody's taken an up close and personal look at this missile. You know, it's mobile, so you can't, you know, so there's no missile silo you can blow up because it's mobile, so they can move it around. You know, which is the biggest thing. And we don't know what was on that missile. They're saying that they put a dummy warhead in the missile that was weighted, or they put a dummy warhead that's the weight of a regular warhead into that missile. That's what they're saying. We don't know if they did that. We don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's very little we know about these people, and the risk is too great for us to guess.
Right.
The capability,
the most difficult part is putting that material in the right place, and it's high level technology in order to produce a nuclear warhead.
To
get the missile to re-enter the Earth's atmosphere,
without burning up.
So I kind of believe they haven't reached that point. But what they did show is that by being able to hit anywhere in the United States, when they do conquer that technology, if we don't take them out and soon enough, when they do conquer that technology, then we're in trouble. But I have a feeling that if they don't stop, we're going to go over there and take them out. And to be quite honest with you, an erratic, sick dictatorship like North Korea and their family dynasties being inherited and the way they treat their people like dog crap. If the United States take them out, I'm all for it. But the cost would be so high because South Korea, especially the capital Seoul, which is right on the border with North Korea, they say it would be hit by hundreds of thousands of artillery pieces,
yeah,
and that place would be destroyed.
Right.
Yeah.
Millions of people would probably, you know, perish. North Koreans would be running into China. I think that Russia is located somewhere close to where North Korea is, so that would be a problem for them.
Yep.
See, the Chinese are helping North Korea. The Chinese don't want the United States to destroy North Korea and then unify the Korean Peninsula. The Chinese don't want that because whoever is the president of the new Korea, it will be somebody that America puts there. And the Chinese don't want an American-run country on their doorstep. So they're jerking Trump around, and he's too stupid to realize it. They're jerking him around. They're still begging China to do something. China is not going to do anything to help the United States. And you know, and you just spinning your wheels if you think they're going to do anything, because they're not going to do anything. You know, and this is something that people need to pay attention to. I understand, you know, we focus a lot on local stuff, but these are the things that we folks people need to be paying attention to. You know what I'm saying? Because we don't know when the shoe is going to drop. And hopefully, nothing's going to happen because of the risk. Because if we do go in over there, the carnage is going to be more than all the wars that have taken place on this earth combined. You know what I mean?
That's why we haven't went over there.
That's the one thing. If North Korea was somewhere isolated where nobody else was around, then they would have been destroyed already. But because because Seoul, of 20 million people who live in Seoul, and 100,000, 200,000 Americans who live in Seoul would be in danger because Seoul is only 35 miles away from the militarized zone between North and South Korea.
Yeah.
We don't know about 30,000 troops is going to make a difference when I believe North Korea has a million person army. So 30,000 troops, even with the United States technological advances in the weaponry, we would still have a hard time trying to take out North Korea's army.
Yeah, so it's not going to be easy. That's why they haven't done it. And they basically, you know, it's not easy. It's a big, and not only that, if they take down Seoul, which they would destroy it with their artillery pieces, the North Koreans, they got it lined up all on the border, and that would take down the world economy as well. So there is a lot of things to consider. Not only that, what people don't realize is the public bluster. They are talking behind the scenes. And from North Korea's standpoint, all they want is the survival of their regime. So, and you got two people talking crazy, the Korean leader as well as Donald Trump, and that's it. But I don't expect nothing to come of it. But if the United States ever see that they're close in their intelligence assessments or whatever, see that they've mastered putting that nuclear fissionable material into a warhead and have mastered the ability to design a rocket that can re-enter the Earth's atmosphere without burning up, that's when it's going to happen, and they're going to say, screw Seoul, we're not going to have this guy with the ability that's so erratic to hit us.
Right, see, this is the thing. So we'll just have to stay in prayer, brother, and hope that that God can navigate us through this mess. Anybody who wants to show ideas, you like us, you hate us, whatever the case may be, you can email me. It's theronkellyshow@gmail.com. That's theronkellyshow@gmail.com. Once again, The Ron Kelly Show on Facebook. You can leave your messages there. You can message me. You can message me on Facebook individually, and you can message me on Ron Kelly Show Facebook page. 5,000 or so already have done it, so you know you go ahead and do it too. Also, you can follow me on Twitter. It's R. Kelly Show, and on Instagram, it's Real R. Kelly Radio. So, my brother Osman Shabazz, it's been a pleasure, my brother. Everybody, veteran Newark activist, and former Real Talk Radio co-host Osman Shabazz. It's been a pleasure, my brother. I want to thank you. Appreciate you for coming on to the program. And, you know, we'll talk behind the scenes. Likewise, and we'll talk behind the scenes and see where we go. We got about a minute left. You want to shout out to the folks out there?
Thank everybody for listening. This is Ron, I've known him for a long time, and it was actually him that gave me the idea to start my own radio show, and I was basically approached Eric Dawson about it, and Eric Dawson was on the show a couple of times. Things didn't work out with them, but Ron is definitely a pioneer, somebody that inspired me. Thank you for everything. Thank the folks in Newark, my boy Rob LeMay.
20 seconds.
Yeah. Yep. And everybody take care. And we're going to do our thing. And Ron Kelly Show. And the Central Ward will be liberated as well.
Trust All right,
that.
Brother. All right. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for listening. We'll see you back here next time. And until then, be safe, everybody.